All right, in just a moment. Yeah, we're getting started here. I want to talk to you about how to stand out in a crowd. I look over this audience and I wonder how many of you would want to stand out in a crowd. Probably like most of us, we tend to want to stand in the shadows, you know, behind somebody and not necessarily be stuck out like a sore thumb. But I'm going to talk to you about three special men tonight coming from Daniel chapter 3. I'm not going to read all the scriptures, but it is verses 1 through 30. I hope you will take the story home and read with you. But I want to talk to you about three special people, very famous in this story, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Man, I tell you, they were great, outstanding Jews. And I don't care, but Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Let me give you the backstory a little bit, because I'm not going to read the whole set of scriptures, just the ones that are relevant to this story. But Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they were back in their own homeland. They were young men who were, you know, just living life in their own home place. How would it be if I took one of you guys and took you over into another country and left you there, you know, and just there you were away from your homeland, you're now in a culture you don't understand, you got to learn a whole new culture, a whole new set of rules. Well, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, that's what happened to them. Their homeland was conquered by an evil and powerful king, and they got taken captive along with a lot of other young men, and they were taken from Jerusalem all the way back to this foreign country. And then, just to kind of keep the story kind of short, this evil king had a very disturbing dream. The evil king, the conqueror, he had a disturbing dream. I often wondered, and somebody had asked me one time, does God talk to unbelievers? Well, I think in this case he did. Because this evil king had a dream that had to do with end times. Because he was thinking the night before he went to sleep, well, what things are going to happen? You know, I wonder what's going to happen after me and that kind of stuff. We all do that sometimes. We think about what's life going to be like if I'm not around or not there to help guide people to do stuff and whatnot. Well, anyway, this king was thinking and he had this disturbing dream. And so the next day, he called up all of his wise men, astrologers, and they went by many titles, many names, to come up and come before him. And the king basically told him this. He said, look, I've had a dream, and it's really, you know, disturbed me, and I want you to tell me the dream and then tell me the interpretation of what the dream is. Well, what kind of request is that? First of all, he had the dream. You would think he would tell them first, and then they could interpret it, but that wasn't so. He knew their kind. He knew that they had lying tongues. And so in order to find out if they were real or not, he wanted to say, well, you tell me the dream first and then tell me the interpretation. So if they could get the dream right, he would believe the interpretation. Well, they said, that's impossible. There's nobody here who can do that. Well, that wasn't quite true. So he actually sent out a decree and they started killing off these guys. These people who were the supposedly some of the wisest men ever. And there was a man there called Daniel. And I love this story because he was a godly man and he knew that God could interpret dreams, and not only that, but he could reveal the secrets of men. So he told the man that was actually the chief sent out to kill all these wise men. And Daniel was part of the group of wise men. That's probably why he was at his house. And when he was there and he explained everything to Daniel, Daniel said, you know what? You tell the king, it's going to be all right. I'll tell him what his dream was and we'll interpret it for him. And then the guy goes back, just like many people I know will go back and take credit for it. I found a man. No, you just showed up at his house to kill him. And he's the one said that, don't worry, it'll be okay. But he did. He went and said, I found a man. So they bring Daniel. They bring Daniel up to this evil king. And the king is sitting there waiting on him. And Daniel explains, and I won't go through all the different materials and stuff, but he saw this huge statue. This huge statue made of different metals, different materials. And then he wanted, this is Daniel explaining it to him. Okay, so Daniel explained to him what he saw. And it started out that the head was the head of gold. Okay, y'all probably know who I'm talking about by now. So this head of gold was King Nebuchadnezzar. And so when he started out that, the rest of the body became inferior metals after that. It started getting inferior and harder. In fact, later you learn that they represent conquerors, people who are going to conquer the people of Jerusalem, including Rome. But beginning with the head of gold, Nebuchadnezzar must have been so proud of himself. And this could have been the catalyst or the motivation for him doing what he did. Because he was an evil king, he decided he wanted to set up a statue of himself. Okay, so he dreamed of a statue, and now he's going to make one. This thing's going to be 90 feet tall. 90 feet tall, 60 cubits. That's a foot and a half, so you can do the math on that one. 90 feet tall by 9 feet wide, and he was going to make this really tall statue. And the purposes of this statue, and by the way, they said the statue was made of gold. It could have been, I suppose. There might have been that much gold in that area, but I have a notion it was made mostly out of wood and then gold plated. That's how they often did things back then. They would plate it with gold, so that it all looked like it was gold. And so that probably was his motivation, because Daniel had told him that he was the head of gold. So here he makes this statue that looked like gold, was at least plated with gold. But here's the kicker. He wanted everybody that when a certain sounds of music started, he wanted everybody to bow down and worship this statue. Now, how are you going to stand out in the middle of a crowd? Well, this is where it's going to take some guts. So here we have this tall statue, and at the sound of the music, you were to bow down and worship the statue. So that's where we're going to pick up on the scripture, Daniel chapter 3, verse 12. All of a sudden, we have these tattletales. Don't you just love tattletales, especially when they're little? We have them at our house. I don't know about you, but we got little kids who are tattle on each other. And turns out they do the same things, but they'll tattle on each other. But we got these tattletales sitting there going, hey, there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of province of Babylon. And their names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Hey, Earl, I thought you said it was Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Yes, it was. That's how you brainwash certain people into your culture. You give them different names. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. In other words, they haven't paid attention to you, for they serve not your gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up. Verse 13. And then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they brought these men before the king. Just leave it there for just a moment. So yes, they were in the process of being brainwashed. So one of the first things you do is you change their names. But notice how it said, they serve not your gods, nor worship the golden image. Well, how'd they know? I guess if everybody else is bowing down, what were they doing? They were standing. If you want to stand out in a crowd, that's one way you do it. You simply stand while everybody else is taking a knee. You know, I never did like the NFL when they started doing that. And but that's how you stand out in a crowd, is you just stand sometimes. But it takes guts. So yeah, so when they're standing, you got these people, I'm sure, who are jealous of these Jewish guys who were put over the affairs of Babylon. And so they're looking around and they're checking things out, you know, who's standing, who's not. And what you got to understand, folks, and it's really sad in a way, is that there had to be a lot more Jews than just those three. Had to be a lot more. And they were all bowed down. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't bow down to it. They weren't going to serve this God. So sometimes in order to stand out in the crowd, you got to be different. You got to look different. You got to act different. You can't necessarily follow the crowd in everything they do. Especially when it comes to sinful behavior. You don't follow the crowd in sinful behavior. Blessed is the man who doesn't sit in the, or stand in the... I forgot how it went, in unrighteousness. But yeah, you don't follow the crowd. But you know what? There's a lot of peer pressure, especially on our young people. Folks, we need to pray for our young people in church, not just in church, but in school. They're being taught. I mean, my goodness, kids can get talked into anything. Does everybody know what a Tide Pod is? You probably do now because all the funny memes on Facebook and whatnot. But kids, that's what you wash clothes with. And kids were actually biting into these things and eating them. I mean, who can be talked into that kind of thing? I mean, it's somebody who wants to be popular and they're under peer pressure. And the whole idea behind peer pressure is usually the saying that everybody's doing it. Well, no, not everybody is doing it. And this is the thing you have to understand. Just because everybody is supposedly doing it doesn't mean you have to be part of that. So as a Christian, what you see going on in this world, just because other people say they're Christian and they're doing these sinful behaviors, doesn't mean it's okay to do. And so you've got to learn to discern these things and make a decision to yourself that I want to stay true. I want to stay true to God, and I'm not going to follow behind these people's footsteps. Because let me look what happens when everybody's doing it. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Jesus said, "Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many," say that word with me, "many there be which go in thereat." And the very next verse, verse 14, says, "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few," say that word with me, "few there be that find it." It's those two scriptures that have me to believe that there likely will be more people who are not saved then there will be more people who will be saved. Because it says there will be few that find it, that find life. So no, we don't join in with those who want to sin. We don't want to stand with the unrighteous. We want to avoid them like the plague. We want to run away. We want to flee. There's nothing wrong with fleeing when it comes to sinful behavior. Anything that's going to put a hindrance between you and God, you don't want that. And let me kind of buttress this with the next scripture, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 4. Look at this. Even back during that day, look at this. "Wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them." People are going to think you're an oddball if you don't run with the crowd who's doing whatever they're doing that's bad, bad behavior. They're going to think it's strange that you don't run with them. And not only that, so they're going to think it's strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, but what else are they going to do? "Speaking evil of you." I mean, they're going to call you names. They're going to do anything to try to get you to join in with them regardless of what it is, they're going to try to get you to do that. So this thing, of course, it requires an understanding between right and wrong. It requires a heart who has settled on Jesus Christ. And that's what I really want to point out to you tonight. These guys, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Hananiah, his name meant God is gracious. And they changed it to Shadrach, which means inspiration of the sun. Mishael means God is without equal. And they changed his name to Meshach, meaning belonging to Aku, whoever that is. I don't know who Aku is. Azariah, and I like his name, the Lord is my helper. And they changed his name to it can either be pronounced Abednego or Abednego. And it just simply means he's the servant of Nego. So that's one of the ways they try to take people, they try to take God's people out of their country. But I was getting ready to say, but you can't take God out of the people. Well, sometimes that's not always true. But here's three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who had courage. And that's the other thing it takes to stand out in the crowd. It takes courage. Courage to stand up for what you believe in. And hopefully what you believe in is what you get out of this book, out of the Bible. When you read the words of this book and you find things in here that this is something that I need to latch on to, this is something I can hold on to, this is what God wants me to be. He says this is a sin, then I don't want to participate in that sin. It takes courage to do that. It takes courage to avoid people who want you to join in their sin. And that's what I see going on all the time right now. Because they're going to think that you're an oddball if you don't. They're going to think you're so odd. You're so odd. But Nebuchadnezzar was willing to give them a second chance. Well, what are you going to say if the king, who's so angry and has the power over your life and death, maybe, he has power to have you executed, and he's going to give you a second chance. So what are you going to say to him? And this is how they stood out, Daniel 3 and 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. So they've already made up their minds. Okay? They've made up their minds, and they all agreed that we're not going to be careful in this matter, that we're going to answer you this way. So verse 17. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, because that's what he was threatened with. They were going to be thrown into the furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. And here we go. The last verse is what I want to concentrate on. But if not, now don't take that as a lack of faith. Sometimes Christians, unfortunately, people of God, it would have been possibly that God may have accounted them to be killed for the purpose, for his purposes, and for standing up for him. But they said that, wait a minute, our God is able. We know our God is able to deliver us from out of your hand. But they also knew that there was a possibility that he might not do it. But he says, if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. I think it takes great courage for men who were probably quite young to stand up to the king like this. In fact, of all of the people taken captive, they were the only three that you know their names. I gave you their original names and I gave you their Babylonian names. And of course, you know the story. They were thrown into the fiery furnace and they were saved. God delivered them. He was merciful to them. But you know, I have to give them credit. They were willing, and this is something, it's sad when you think about it in a way for many Christians, but people are willing to give their lives for Christ. We're so fortunate, I think, in this country, in the U.S., that we're able to worship God in freedom. I sometimes pray this, and I don't mean it to criticize, I truly don't, but we have the freedom to come, we have the freedom not to come and worship the Lord. We have the freedom, and I thank God for that freedom, because a lot of countries, they don't have such freedom. If they're going to worship God, sometimes they got to do it in secret. And not only in secret, but in danger of their lives. And so in one way, they're taking a stand, even though they're trying to be in secret, they're taking a stand against the laws or against the government or against whomever is trying to prevent them. And folks, there is a war being waged against Christians. It seems fashionable these days to at least condescend and harass Christianity in what they believe in. And you can see now how the liberal agenda is pressing in, and they want scripture and prayer removed from schools and from every public location. I hear this battle for so many years, and it seems to be getting worse and worse. But even just having a simple nativity scene out in the public courthouse, that's, I think they have even tried, if maybe they've succeeded, they've outlawed that. And so here we finally have somebody, first president who's ever joined in the actual march of life. I don't know if you guys remember what happened last year during the march of life. They had an incident with a young Catholic group, a young Catholic set of boys. And you know what? I have to give them credit, because they were being harassed, and one of them didn't really even know he was being harassed. So he said in order to defuse the situation that was going on, he just smiled. That's all he did. And do you know, people had the audacity to think that he was making fun of the person he was smiling at? He wasn't making fun of him. He was just smiling with him. And then he thought he was wanting to have a dialogue with him, and he actually... The guy was beating, he was an Indian beating a war drum, and so he was actually dancing like an Indian would dance with a war drum, and they thought he was just making fun of the man, and he wasn't. Well, it turned out that the news company, one of them, there's a bunch of them that are being sued right now, but had to pay out quite a few millions of dollars just because of what they said about that young man. And there's several of those same young men attended that March for Life rally again this year. And so folks, they stood up. They stood up with their beliefs. Now you might say, well, they're Catholic. Yeah, well, okay. God bless them. God bless them. They stood up for their belief and for life. And that's what they were doing even now. So here's the thing I want to leave you with. I want to close with this. If you want your life to matter to God, then do what's right in His eyes, not what the world tells you. Do what's right in His eyes, and then you'll be able to stand out in a crowd if you want or if you need to. So like I said, just like this guy, Nick Sandman, he had to stand up for what he believed. Would we have done that? I hope so, without being confrontational. I hope we would have stood up for what we believed and not being goaded into getting into some kind of fight or fisticuffs or whatnot, because that's what they tried to do to him. They tried to get him to do something, to lash out so they could accuse him and speak evil of him. Well, they did do the speaking evil of him, and now they're getting their comeuppance, because I think they're having to shell out all kinds of money, millions of dollars. That's a lot of money for reporting on a poor kid like this. But yes, sometimes, you know, if you want your life to matter to God, do what's right in His eyes. If you would, please stand. I hope this message was good for you. I hope you go home and read it in Daniel chapter 3. Heavenly Father, I have relayed the words I think you have given me for tonight. And Lord, that I pray that you would help each and every one of us to be predisposed in our minds already, Lord, made up minds to stand for what we believe in and to stand for the cause of Christ, and anything that would come under attack toward him, Lord, that we would stand and put on the armor of God. It's not our armor, it's the armor of God. And Lord, the word is so important as part of that armor. And so, Lord, it is the sword of the Spirit. And we ask you, Lord, that you would help us to stand for our beliefs and to continue to stand for our beliefs and teach others how to do the same. So God, I pray that you will bless each and every person in this congregation. Let them go home, Lord, safely, and come back next time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.